Morning. It's an honor and a privilege to be with you all this morning. Want to thank each and every one of you for your prayers, for your encouragement, and for sharing in the work that I've been involved in. Also, thank you for Brother Kevin Ferguson placing membership at Eldon. He's been such a blessing to the congregation there, and appreciate him. I want to share some thoughts with you this morning about what are my priorities. Jobs, friends, family, wealth, health, success. All of these things and more seem to be pushing and pulling us in different directions. Priorities are something I believe we all struggle with, and I hope to stir our hearts, stir our minds up to consider, maybe reevaluate, and see what, with the Lord's help, what we can do to do a better job with priorities. First of all, realize that wealth, health, happiness, success, family, things, status, jobs, friends, recreation, all of these things are not bad in and of themselves. But what matters is where they are placed on my priority list. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Paul's writing to Timothy there in Ephesus. And he says, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." How many of you have had your doctor say you need to exercise more? Yeah. Exercise is good, but Paul says there's something better. Exercising godliness. Investing yourself in godliness pays greater dividends. Eternal profit. And that word godliness, it means a reverence for God so that we act upon it. So that we want to please Him. So that we want to serve Him. So that we shape and mold our life to be more like Him. What is a priority? Well, I took this from Merriam-Webster's dictionary. Something that is more important than other things and that needs to be done or dealt with first. Maybe. I want to expand on that just a little. Someone or something we spend or focus our time, our devotion, our commitment. I believe that also describes a priority. We all have priorities, but maybe sometimes we have priorities that kind of creep in. Maybe you don't even realize it. Let me give you an illustration. Several years ago, I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and they were spring training, preseason, and I noticed, I've got to get the lawn mowed now so that I can go in and watch the Chiefs. And I started to think, I'm planning my day, my life, around this. It's become a priority, and I didn't even realize it. Maybe something has happened like that in your life. Stephen R. Covey, an inspirational writer and speaker, he wrote, "Most of us spend too much time on what is urgent and not enough time on what is important." I think there's a lot of truth there. Another brother many of you may have known, Brother Mel Short. He was an elder at 59th and University in Iowa, and eventually moved down to the lake and was a member at Eldon for several years there. And he says, "We major in the minors and we minor in the majors." Maybe a question we should ask ourselves, and I found that this helps me, if the world was to come to an end tonight or tomorrow, if the Lord was to return, how important would, and you fill in the blank, be? This thing that's got us being pushed and shoved in all these directions, how important would it be if the Lord returns? This question gives me some perspective to what is important and what really is a priority or should be a priority in my life. How does the Christian go about arranging priorities? I think that each of us, we have a priority list. Maybe there's one in our mind. I know I have one in my mind. But it seems like things just keep coming. You know, something's broken in the house. The car won't start. Something needs to be done here. Someone calls up on the phone. And eventually, that priority list that I started out with, it kind of becomes a little skewed. It's not what I desired, and it's not what I started out with. So maybe we need to sit down, evaluate, take inventory, discern. What are my responsibilities? What are my activities? And if you're like me, you know, sometimes that priority list becomes cluttered, and I have to sit back down, and I need to write out these things. I need a reset button. I need to go back. I need to reevaluate where is my time going, my money, and my energies. Now, those may not necessarily be priorities, but they point to what our priorities are in life. Where am I spending my energies, my time, my money? And then I need to ask myself, just how beneficial are my priorities at helping me to arrive at my goal? I've wrote here on the board, goal, heaven. Now, there's a lot that's entailed there. But simply to please the Lord and spend an eternity with Him in heaven and bring along as many souls as I possibly can. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Haggai chapter 1. I think there's only two chapters there. It's in the Old Testament there. I want us to consider an example from the Old Testament. Haggai chapter 1, I want to consider verses 3 through 8. It's a short book, only two chapters. 3 through 8, then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat but do not have enough. You drink but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified. I think there's several lessons that we can learn from these scriptures. In 586 BC, I want to set the time frame. In 586 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, he had destroyed the temple that Solomon had built, and he carried away captive the children of Judah because of their sins, refusing to follow the commands of God. Now we fast forward to about 520 BC, and that's whenever Haggai is taking place here. It's under the Persian Empire. The children of Judah, they were granted to return to Jerusalem with the purpose to rebuild the temple, to reestablish the worship there with the house of God. we find that the children of Judah had lost sight of their purpose. They lost sight of their goal. They, instead of building the house of God, they were building their own houses. The house of God should have come high on their priority list. And I don't know where it had fallen down, but it had fallen down. It was no longer where it should have been. Is there anything wrong with building nice houses? Is there anything wrong with providing for our families? No. No. Matter of fact, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, the person who will not provide for their family is worse than an unbeliever. The problem was where their priorities lie. And because of poor priorities, they were not prospering. What can we take from what is written here for our learning? Romans chapter 15, verse 4. The things that were written beforehand were written for our learning, that we might, through the Scriptures, have patience and comfort of hope. Well, I think, first of all, it's not enough to be religious. These people were religious. These people had great intentions. I mean, consider, they had to have traveled at least hundreds of miles, if not over 1,000, to leave Persia, follow the Euphrates River, and then come down into Egypt. It's not enough to be religious or well-intentioned. I think we, like the children of Judah, we can be pulled, we can be pushed. Like this guy, you know, we have all these things that are just kind of pushing and pulling us. What is God's prescription? He says it twice. Consider your ways. The word consider in the Hebrew, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but there are three words that make up the word consider. I want us to consider one of those words. And it comes from a word that means heart. You can look this up in Strong's number 3824 if you desire. And yes, priorities often is a matter of the heart. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Someone once said, we do what we want to do. And if it's important, we will find a way. Dellen H. Oakes, he wrote, desires dictate our priorities. Priorities shape our choices, and our choices determine our actions. Well, what is the first priority that every Christian must have? It's not an option. Turn with me to Mark. Mark chapter 12. I want us to consider verses 29 through 33. I know you're familiar with this scripture. Mark chapter 12. Verses 29 through 33. So this is when a scribe came to Jesus and asked him, what's the first and the greatest commandment? Jesus answered and said, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. That's our all. When we consider that, it's everything of our being. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now notice what Jesus says in verse 34. So when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Now I don't want to make your priority list for you. But this is what God says. This is what the Lord says. God has to be first if we want to please Him, if we want to serve Him. And that's not Dan saying that. That's the Lord. So I feel confident we can write that up there. Also, notice there at verse 34, the kingdom. Said if you love the Lord, if you love your neighbor, you're not far from the kingdom. What did Jesus say in Matthew 6 and 33? We have a song in our songbooks. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know if we need to put this here or if we put it as 1A. I don't know. And what is the kingdom of God on this earth?
Church.
It's the church. Let's go back to Haggai chapter 1. They were building the house of God, a physical building which pointed to the true house of God, the church. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16, 17 tells us that the church is the house of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 tells us that we're living stones in that house. Each one of us is a living stone. If you're a Christian, you're a living stone in that house. Therefore, building up the church as a whole and our brethren individually, growing, developing, maturing, not only myself, but helping my brethren, assisting my brethren, is something that should be on our priority list. And it's something that should be toward the top. Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these other things, says He'll take care of. All these other things, they'll kind of fall into place. Turn with me to Romans chapter 14, verse 19. It's another scripture I know that you're well familiar with. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. By the way, I'm reading out of the New King James Version this morning. But I believe that some of these, at least the NIV, and there may be another one that calls it mutual edification. It says here, "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another." Going back to building up the house. Remember Haggai? Haggai, they were building up the house. We are building up the house. That word edify comes from the word edifice. Edifice means house, building. So when we see the word edify, we should think about building up, strengthening, fortifying that foundation, not only for ourselves, but for our brethren. Therefore, edify is to build up or to establish. Christians are to be employed in building up, strengthening one another, developing one another. And we're supposed to do this through instruction, through teaching, through admonishing, through serving one another in love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Did you know there are over 50 one another statements in the New Testament? Is God trying to tell us something? I believe so. No one is an island. We need each other. We must invest in our brethren. Our brethren whom Christ died for. Just as much as He died for me. They're worthy of our heart's desires, our attention, and our efforts. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, Paul says to set our minds on things above. This is easier when I'm around others who have set their mind on things above. Down in Eminence, there's a Bible camp out. And I know for me that whenever I'm around other brethren with the same goals, the same desires, it's so much easier to serve the Lord. It's so much easier to overlook children's foibles. So much easier to do what is right. And it's more so that we need it every day. Every day. That we might help one another. What shapes and develops our priorities? I'm going to at least list three. There's probably many more, and probably many that I'm leaving out. But I want us to consider three things: faith, the Word of God, and the church. Those three things. Consider faith, our trust, our confidence in God and in His precious promises. That gives us hope, that moves us forward and closer to Him. The Lord's, James said in James 4, verse 8, draw near unto God and He will draw near to you. Hebrews 11 and 6 tells us that for without faith, it's impossible to please God. For first, we must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. There's confidence in there. There's a hope, a living hope. Faith is like the rocket fuel that propels our rocket into action. But not into just any action, but actions that are guided and directed by God. Because Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible is a personal letter that God has written to you. He's poured His heart, He's poured His love, He's poured His energies into it. Think about it. We would know very little about God, about His Son, if it wasn't for Him revealing it to us in His Word. In it we learn of who God is. We learn of what His will is for our lives. We learn how we can appropriately serve Him. And we're going to consider that a little bit this afternoon. Do you know how many times this is the will of God or this is God's will appears in the New Testament? Over 20 times. Throughout the Word of God, God reveals His will for your life. I've studied with many people and say, oh, I wish I knew what God's will is for my life. Here it is. Here it is. Through the Word of God, we renew our minds. We refresh our minds. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. If we don't renew our minds, we will get stuck in the same old ruts of wrong priorities. By renewing our minds, we keep fresh what is important to God in the front of our minds. If you don't have time for Bible reading, we need to reschedule our priorities. Maybe I need to get up a half hour earlier in the morning. Maybe I need to go to bed a half hour later. I know when I worked at the Ford dealership, I was in the parts department, but I had to be there during lunch. So I found that it was convenient to have a sandwich in one hand and Bible in the other. It was an opportunity to read and study God's Word. Maybe as you're driving to work, listen to the Bible on tape or on CD or MP3, whatever it may be. And then we've already considered about our brethren. Hebrews chapter 10, and I want you to turn there with me. Hebrews chapter 10, I want to consider verses 24 through 27. It says, let us consider. There's that word consider. Of course, this is in the Greek, though. One another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. This isn't a suggestion. It's a command. Why? Because the Lord who created us and designed us knows that we need this. We need one another. We need the strength. We need to help our brother. When a person is not loved or doesn't feel like they're loved, you know, they kind of wander away. We need to get everybody involved. Involvement. And I see my time is about up. I'm going to close considering there are many things in our life that are important. But there's one thing that is so important, it's life or death. And that's to put Jesus on in the watery grave of baptism. Having faith that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for your sins. So strong that you can't just sit there. You got to do something about it. And He commands us to repent. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. It's so important, He says it twice. Repent. It starts in the mind, but it has to be seen in our actions. In the Old Testament, God says, turn. Change. I like what Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do what is right. What's right in God's eyes. And that's not just a one-time thing. That is a lifetime. A lifetime of turning from sin and turning to follow God. Lord says we must confess Him as Lord of our lives. As King of our heart. King of our priority list. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. And then we are commanded many places. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 says, but as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So we bring our confessing mouth, we bring our repenting heart, and we meet Him in the watery grave of baptism where He says, I'll wash your sins away and I will remember them no more. It's life and death because He says if we don't, we will perish. If you've never obeyed the gospel, why not? What is it that's keeping you, that's holding you back? If you have obeyed the gospel and you haven't been living the life that you know that you ought to be living, this invitation is to you to come with repenting heart. Rededicate your life to the Lord and to the Master's service. There's a loving family, ready, willing, desiring to serve you, but you must make that request known, and we invite you to let it be known while we stand and while we sing. The invitation's